On the Young Turks, Michael Schur sitting in for Cenk Uygur and Ben Mankiewicz and Jill Pike. I'm going to be with you just today. I was here yesterday with Matthew Chamberlain, and tomorrow the troops are back. Joining me today, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And it turns out that Brad is the most well-spoken person on the issue of election curiosity that we have on the web, and he's been enticing us with these great tales. I invite you. We're going to have a guest coming on shortly. I invite you to call in during during that part of the program. It's 866-997-4748, 866-99-SIRIUS. You can also see us on the web at theyoungturks.com, where I invite you also to look at Cenk's blog and see his. His newest edition of that, which is entitled "We Got Him," and you'll remember something about Bush saying something like that, or somebody saying something like that. It was a general over there when they found Saddam Hussein. Well, it turns out that we're starting to get our good friend George. He's at a 34% approval rating, the lowest of every president. Somebody called those Nixonian numbers.
Yes, that was Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly referred to those
Nixonian
numbers, and boy, he should know. I urge you all to go to theyoungturks.com. Again, the number 866-99-SIRIUS, 866-997-4748.
And let me do this as well. I want to put the word out for you folks who are listening on the Internet. Michael had said I'm one of the most well-spoken folks on this. Yeah, I'm okay.
I was just trying to be nice.
I know.
Really,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But somebody who actually is well-spoken, we're going to have here momentarily, Ion Sancho, supervisor of elections from Leon County, Florida, who ran really what has become now an historic hack test on these Diebold machines, and it has had ripples all over the country. The reason I'm talking to folks on the Internet now is because we're going to have Ion here for the entire next hour. We're going to take your calls. He is incredibly well-spoken on this. This guy is a hero, and I want y'all to put the word out. Go over to DU or anywhere else you can. Tell him to come in and tune in right now to theyoungturks.com. Spread the word that Ion is here. Because this guy just knows his stuff, and we have seen elections officials around the country who, frankly, don't much want to talk about this issue for some reason. One of them is Brad Nelson, a fella up in Pima County, Arizona, who I broke the story, actually I think it was yesterday, at bradblog.com with some exclusive video. We are going to play the video for those. No, we're not. We don't have it for those watching the webcast. We've got some technical issues, but we will have the audio of this election director, Brad Nelson, going, what can I say here? Nuts is all I'm allowed to say on the air. Going absolutely nuts at an election integrity.
You can say effing crazy.
He goes effing crazy on an election integrity activist up there who had the temerity to ask about the voting machines that they would be using this year in Arizona, which is one of those states with a lot of questions. So we will play that for you in a little bit, along with Ion Sancho, because I'd like to get his take on it. Ion is actually one of the way too few election directors, as far as I'm concerned, in this country who are willing to talk about this issue, and not just talk about this issue, but take action on it. Take action he did last December when he allowed a couple of computer security professionals to come in to a mock election that they held down there in Leon County, which, by the way, is that's Bush country. That's Jeb's country, Tallahassee.
Yeah. What isn't Bush country?
Yeah. Well, he held a mock election down there with a total of 8 votes that day. The question was a simple yes or no question. Can Diebold memory cards be hacked? Can Diebold machines, voting machines, be hacked via their memory cards? And we know how many people voted. It was a total of 9, I believe. 6 said yes. I'm sorry, 6 said no. 2 said yes. But when they ran the results, It turns out 7 said yes.
Lo and behold.
1 said no, and there was no trace of this hack left behind. Ion Sancho has not earned a lot of friends from the folks up at Diebold or elsewhere in the voting vendor business. And he's now our guest for the next hour. Ion, welcome to the Young Turks, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Brad.
Did I cover that accurately? I screwed up some of those numbers there, but...
Well, you have the numbers right at the end.
Yeah.
We did the test using eight votes.
Right.
Myself and my staff all voted no. The two computer experts voted yes, so we actually had 8 paper ballots properly marked two yes and 6 no. And as you described, one of the computer experts who had detected an illegal interpretive code on the memory card programmed that card to actually subtract votes and add votes on the other side, and when we ran the paper ballots through the optical scanner and generated the final election results on the server, it was 7 yes and 1 no. And that's significant for two reasons, because most states really only do two things to check to determine whether or not the election is in fact accurate. And that is, they make sure that the number of citizens that signed in equals the number of votes that they have cast. Well, this system did that. The test did that. We had 8 votes going in. We had 8 votes going out. The problem is, they were the wrong 8 votes. They were the 8 votes that the individual using the code already existed on the memory card, which was manipulated, could in fact alter the outcome of the election, and the operator of the system sitting at the election server did not detect that anything was wrong.
Which is unbelievable. Now, had this been an actual election, folks could have gone back to it and they would have said, well, looks like the poll books say there should be 8 votes. We have 8 ballots.
Right.
There's no problem here. Right?
And there's one other problem, which is specific to Florida and may not be specific to other states, but it is Florida. Florida has a law which was effective as of last year, and that is, if a machine reads the vote, it is illegal to examine the machine-read votes to determine if they were correct or not. Under Florida law, machine-read votes are presumed correct.
Only
in a manual recount or a close election environment, check the votes that cannot be scanned or read by the machine.
You mean you could not, if that had been an election, you would not, by law, be able to go back by hand and count those ballots and compare them to the official total report?
That is correct. Under Florida, that would be illegal to do. Which is why Roy Saltman,
what does the law say? I mean, how it's illegal to do that?
It states it in the affirmative. The only votes in a recount that you may manually examine are overvotes, undervotes, and provisional ballots. All of those are ballots which cannot be read by the machine. So while it doesn't state that it is illegal to read machine-read ballots, by stating that you are only lawfully allowed to check the ballots which are not machine-readable, the opposite of that is, you can't check the machine.
It's incredible.
And these ballots, in this case, these 8 ballots in this mock election test, these were run through the machines. They were counted correctly as far as anybody would otherwise know. So there would be no reason to actually go back. Even if you were legally allowed, there'd be no reason to go back and actually count these ballots, right?
That's correct. We couldn't have done it because, again, Florida even only allows the recount if it's within 0.25%. What you've done here is you've taken a landslide one direction and make it a landslide the other direction. You would not have any legal right to examine those ballots, even to look at the undervotes and the overvotes under Florida law. So, which has led Roy Saltman, who is the only scientist ever employed by the government to study elections in the 20th century, to write to the Miami Herald and tell them directly, Florida's laws are a threat to democracy.
You bet they are. Now, Ion Sancho, you then, after this mock election in December, I suppose, or was it November, I think?
It was December.
December, okay. You announced that we will never use Diebold in another election again, as I recall your quote. That and at the time, you had decided, okay, we're getting rid of these Diebold machines, and we're going to go with ES&S, who I regard as Diebold's evil twin. But that's just me, and I don't want to get you in any more trouble than you're already in. Now,
well, you can't get me any more trouble with them, Brad, because
that's right.
After the president found out that I was going to buy their voting machines, he put a kibosh on it.
Yeah, which is amazing because he told you, I believe they told you that they would be able to supply machines to Leon County, Florida, and then just 2 days before this January 2006 deadline for the Help America Vote Act, ES&S then calls you, leaves a message on your answering machine, I guess, and says what?
Well, they told me that Gary Crump, who's the chief operating officer for the ES&S Corporation, in a contrite voice, of course, told me that we simply cannot provide you the machines. We just don't have enough of the product and the service personnel to provide the kind of high-level service that Leon County is known for.
Do you believe him?
No.
Why not?
Well, because 3 days after that, they offered to sell Volusia County, Florida, more voting machines than we had wanted. And then they turned around and offered to sell machines to Palm Beach County 2 weeks ago, offering them immediately 120 machines. We were only after 160 total. And then you read further, and apparently in Maryland recently, they told the state of Maryland they could supply their whole state with optical scanners. So apparently they can provide the voting machines for every other jurisdiction in the nation,
right,
just not Leon County.
Now, why do you suppose they wouldn't want to provide them to Leon County, Ion?
Well, I think I don't fit the kind of mold which is that you're going to be hat in hand and dependent upon the machine vendor, which is something that when I became a supervisor of elections in 1989, the very first public meeting I went to was a presentation at the Federal Election Commission by Roy Saltman, who worked for the National Bureau of Standards at the time, who said, you really need to keep the voting machine companies at an arm's length from your operation. You need firewalls from everybody. You need to have security protocols which test the real-world vulnerabilities of your system, and you should not be dependent upon your vendor. And in a foolish me, as a rookie elections administrator, I believed all of that stuff and implemented it just in that manner.
We're speaking with Ion Sancho, the Supervisor of Elections in Leon County. Let's take a quick break here and come back with your calls. More Ion. It has had what happened down there in Leon County has had reverberations all over the country, out here in California in particular. I want to talk about some of those, and I want to find out if Ion thinks that the reason ES&S doesn't want to sell him machines anymore is because they're colluding with Diebold, or if it's because they're afraid that he will give ES&S the same treatment that he gave Diebold down there. Also, we'll take your calls, and we will listen to another election director who isn't quite as friendly and open as Ion Sancho, Brad Nelson, out in Pima County, Arizona. All of that and much more coming up here on The Young Turks.
And you're back to live action on The Young Turks. J.R. Jackson bringing us in with something that says you got to check up on it. I don't know anything about that song, who sings it, or anything, when it even came out, but I do know that indeed you do have to check up on it. And it turns out that it's increasingly difficult to check up on things. And we're joined, continuing to be joined by the Supervisor of Elections in Leon County, Florida, Ion Sancho. And, you know, it's interesting. If you told me that the year 2000 that 6 years later you'd be doing a radio show, that Anna Nicole Smith was testifying before the Supreme Court, and we still can't figure out how to count votes in America, I would have said you'd be nuts. But, in fact, all on the same day, if you can believe it. We're constantly amazed by what is going on in so far as underneath the radar, because it's not something that you read about on a daily basis. It isn't one of these stories that seems to have a continuing and persistent amount of ire as far as the lay people are concerned. What can be done about that, do you think? And then we want to ask you a little more about election reform around the country.
Well, I think, first off, that election officials really bear a lot of the responsibility for the problems going on because they are not willing to look behind the curtain. They're not willing to question the vendors. They're not willing to conduct independent tests. And
I want to interrupt you because I didn't hear you. Did you say elected officials or election officials?
Well, to be honest with you, both. But election officials suffer from one particular acute disease, and I would call it the arrogance of authority.
Uh-huh.
They're the experts.
Right.
Excuse me? We know this, and you don't. Be quiet. And that's not appropriate in a democratic republic, which requires accountability. As I tell my citizens in Leon County, don't trust me, require that I verify to you that the results are accurate.
Right.
And we don't demand accountability all across our political spectrum, let alone in the area of elections. And that's a serious mistake, because if you do not require accountability, you're only going to get oligarchy or authoritarianism.
Now, have you had, as Brad again, have you had problems with election reform advocates, activists who have demanded information from you, that you found it to be a problem? Because we've got, and I'm going to play this in the next half hour, this Brad Nelson out of Pima County, Arizona. But when they come to you and they demand this and that, and they want the poll tapes and they want this and that, do you see that as a nuisance, or do you feel that's your duty to provide that information to the public?
It is my duty. Florida has a very strong Public Records Act under Chapter 119. You can demand anything from me, and if there is not a specific statute that exempts it, you get to have it. Particularly after 2000, we were inspected, rejected, neglected, you name it. It was done to us, but quite frankly, we deserved it, because the election officials in the state of Florida, both state and local, failed the citizens miserably, and I also blame the media for failing the citizens as well. It seems that the mainstream media is turned into what I call tabloid television, and we're not getting information that we need to have. The mainstream media is afraid of upsetting those that control power, and that fear has led them to simply not take very assertive stands, but without the inquiry of the traditional inquiry of the Fourth Estate, we're pretty much, citizens are left to fend to themselves. And that's simply, I think right now, about the worst position that we can be in.
You, after this hack test in December, you had made a statement about what went on in Volusia in 2000, in Volusia County, in your opinion. You want to share that with us?
Well, we all remember, particularly in Florida, all of us heard that there was a problem in Volusia County. And the supervisor of elections there described it as an anomaly. And it essentially shut down the vote counting process in Volusia County. And it wasn't until really months after the election that I read about what the anomaly was on a website, blackboxvoting.org, who had, using the Florida Public Records Law, acquired the email communications between the supervisor of the voting machines in Volusia County and a Diebold representative. And she was asking the Diebold representative to tell her what to say to the media, because it turns out that the anomaly was that on election night, the machine recorded someone trying to force in a memory card, which again is the same thing we used in our test to determine if you could steal the election. Someone tried to put in a memory card to alter the results at the main Daytona Beach elections office in Volusia County, and that memory card attempted to add 200 and I believe it was 16 votes to George Bush's total and subtract over 16,000 votes off of Gore's total. Now, this is what the audit log of the main election computer in the Volusia County Elections Office shows. That copy card 3 was never found. There was never any state investigation. In fact, the state of Florida has never held any official investigative hearings on what happened in the Florida 2000 election. Not one.
Unbelievable. Let's take a quick call from Keith in Alexandria, Virginia. Keith, welcome to the Young Turks.
Hi.
Hey.
I have an idea for verifying the vote on election day, since we can't trust the machines.
What if you had sort of a what you might call an open voting project in which you would station people, volunteers, at precincts that have had questionable results in the past, and you allow people after they've voted to declare who they voted for, and maybe you provide a contact name and address, and then at the end of the day, if, say, you had 5,000 votes Democratic and the machines only showed 2,000, you would have some pretty hard evidence that something had gone wrong.
Thanks for that, Keith. We've got to get to a break here, so I'm going to throw this right to Ion. That's actually essentially what they do in the exit polling, and we found out the numbers were one thing and the final results were another.
Right.
So what do you think, Ion?
Well, first off, most of the states now, state of Florida adopted this last year, you got to stay 100 feet away from the polls. So it's illegal to ask anybody within 100 feet now in Florida that kind of question. And the other question is that people may not respond to you. Their right to vote is secret, and many people, including myself, I do not divulge who I vote to anybody.
Well, that's good, Ian. We're going to ask you to stay with us through the next break. You're listening to the Young Turks. Talk about abandoning the president. We're not going to stop this course. 34% approval rating for George W. Bush.
You love that.
Man, do I love it. I love to see that thing low.
18%
for Dick Cheney. That means 82% of Americans don't like their vice president, which means impeachment is even more doubtful, because guess who becomes president if we impeach the little guy?
Me?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, 30% support the war in Iraq, the effort.
I noticed those, yeah. And 30%, and then there was 32% support his handling of Katrina. I mean, get your head out of your asses, people. you're allowed, even if you're part of the loyal 32%, to say that this guy's doing a terrible job on something. You know, remember when John Dickerson asked him that question in the White House, what mistakes have you made? And he hemmed and hawed that, you know, mistakes. That was a tough one for me. I could you ask me again later? I mean,
couldn't think of it.
No, you couldn't think of any. Come on. We all make mistakes. and speaking of mistakes, we go to election politics. In Pima County, Arizona, they have a fellow named Brad Nelson, who is the chairman of elections, and it's probably not the exact
election director.
Okay, but we all know the idea. And we have some interesting tape. I think, is it just audio, or do we have video that's going to stream as well? Jesus, I'm not sure if it's video.
I think they're having trouble with the
just
streaming
audio,
video.
Just audio. We're going to have just audio. And this is Brad Nelson, in confrontation with an election reform activist in Pima County, Arizona. And then we'll get to your calls and to our guest, Ion Sancho. So listen to this.
Yes.
On the equipment that's coming in, I understand there's going to be 9 early locations, and there's going to be direct recording electronics, D-bolts.
I don't know that.
Well, did you sign the contract for it last day or two?
Nope.
No? When's the contract going to be signed?
Already signed by the Secretary of State.
Okay, so we're getting D-bolt, AccuVote machines, DREs, right?
I don't know that. I didn't sign the contract.
Well, we know you know, and we know that we know, because we've seen the contract in the purchase order.
Then
and you know
that
too.
I signed it. You just
okay.
Said I signed
because, well, the
was Secretary my name
State
on the contract or not? Was my name on the contract or not?
All I can say is the county. The
was my name on the contract or not?
No,
you said it was.
No, it wasn't. I did not say it was. I didn't say it was. I'm asking a simple question. How do you want an accuracy and vote test when you run these ballots to the DRE when there's nothing?
200.
There's a lot, because our vote needs to count. We want to verify this. And we're voting on faith-based voting systems. That's what it comes down to. Over here, when he came in, he said, well, I'm going to buy those machines, and when they come in, we'll just kick them around or whatever. $3 million. It'll be $12 million for the whole state.
Okay.
Faith-based voting.
Can I ask your question?
Can I
answer the question, then we'll move on. Okay?
What's your question, John?
My question is, how are you going to do an accuracy vote test on a DRE when it doesn't have a ballot, but just a paper, magnetic paper?
I haven't had the equipment in my hands yet. It's like asking me whether Marilyn Farnsworth was a good kisser in my senior high school class. Until I kissed her, I didn't know, and she was. So,
in New Mexico, on DRE for a presidential election, in some precincts, they had a favorable vote of 37% for president. And that means 100 people showed up, and 37 did not vote for president. Now, if it was a small little race, I could understand that. Usually with optical scans, it's less than 1%.
I've answered this question. I am seeing equipment.
Okay. We're going to discuss that at one of our meetings about this situation that will be scheduled. Your concerns, that's going to be on the ballot, that sort of thing. Yes. There are a lot of concerns about that.
We'll live free or die bold.
Live free or die bold. That was election integrity advocate John Brakey in Arizona speaking with Pima County's election director Brad Nelson last week at a public meeting. Simple question about the system that is now coming into their state for the first time. And Brad Nelson, you can see the full video, by the way, over at bradblog.com. We posted it yesterday. Exclusive video, I might add. He rushes toward the camera. He's yelling at this guy. That's the kind of election director I guess they get in Pima County. The kind they get down in Leon County, Florida, however, is Ion Sancho. He is with us. Ion, had you seen that video or heard that before?
No, but I did watch it. I did watch it this evening on your site. And you know what I can say is that
Marilyn Farnsworth was a great kisser.
I don't know. I've never kissed her myself. never mind. We'll leave that late. But I think election officials all over the country are feeling really the pressure from people who are demanding some sort of transparency and verifying the vote. And the issue is these new DREs simply don't provide that. But in many cases, such as Florida, that's the only option that you have to fulfill the Help America Vote Act under Section 301. And I'm subject to that own situation myself. State of Florida only has three systems you can buy. You got to buy one of their three systems.
And who dictates that?
The state of Florida has a two-person testing shop, and they dictate that.
And who puts these testers in? I'm not interrogating.
They're hired by
curious.
The Secretary of State, which is in Florida, the appointee of Governor Jeb Bush.
Right. We've seen.
So the entire apparatus is a partisan-controlled apparatus, and David Drury, who's the head of the Voting Machine Certification Department in the state of Florida, is a former ES&S employee. That's where he was hired from. And so,
you know, I just have to tell you, Ian, I ask these questions of you, and like I said before, I'm not interrogating, but the more questions you ask, it always seems to lead eventually, once you peel the layers away, to something that is curious to be nice. You know, and when you hear that there are ES&S officials that are, former ES&S officials who are now on this committee, I don't know what they, whatever the committee is called, the one that dictates that there are three systems you can buy.
Voting certification.
Yeah, it's astonishing stuff.
And you see this all over the country. You see this in California. You see this in every state. They bring in guys who are on Diebold payrolls, on ES&S's payrolls.
Well, between those two companies, 80% of all American votes are tabulated. Now, that sounds like a monopoly to me.
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, I wouldn't imagine there'd be a great deal of competition. There's, if I say that we should strive for some sort of uniformity, sometimes that implies that there would be a monopoly. But I do think that there has to be. Listen, we export Jimmy Carter to make sure that elections in other countries are fair.
Well, Jimmy Carter, would not come into Florida to observe the general election in 2004 here.
I mean, that's what, yeah.
Because he wrote an editorial for the Washington Post, said that he'd been asked many, many times, but he doesn't go to jurisdictions that do not have fair and impartial election administrations. The state of Florida didn't have that, so he couldn't begin to do any election operation in the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting to. And he won't go to Florida. We keep exporting him to other countries, yet we can't even whatever sort of rules he has for himself as far as monitoring an election is concerned, he can't even do that in the state next door. I mean, it's just astonishing stuff. And, Ian, I want to take a call. I'm not sure if the call is going to be exactly on subject, but we have you here, and people are talking about elections, and we're trying to generate some interest. We're going to go to Will in South Park, Colorado. Will, you're on line one. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I had a quick question. I noticed that you're pretty much see the proof that this guy's been cheating with help. I'm wondering, when they're pushing the Patriot Act, so see, I think they've labeled me as an insider. I like wearing funny shirts. So I'm thinking they're going to take me away to one of their private prisons, and they've got this Patriot Act flying through Senate right now, I guess.
Yeah, well...
Why should any of these people have any right to say a damn thing about what our rights are when they cheated all the elections in the last three cycles? All right. I'm lost.
Will, thank you for calling. Thanks. Will's referring to today the Senate voted, I think it was 69-30, certainly filibuster proof, to send the Patriot Act, the renewal of the Patriot Act, to the president's desk. And Ian, he's asking if we can't, you know, we can't have, you know, how can we approve the Patriot Act, you know, but how can we let the people who steal our elections then go on to have the Patriot Act? Well, you have the people stealing the elections so that they can do that. Is that not right?
You know, to move sort of off the subject, I think the real hidden shame in America is the rigging of elections before the elections through the process of computerization of election data, which comprises the districts. And this is something that we, the news media, calls nicely gerrymandering, but quite frankly is rigging the elections. When you measure with computers, and we can now have the data down to the census block level, so that a census block, both parties know exactly how a block will vote, and then they just move these blocks around so that their candidates never lose. Excuse me, but why aren't we pointing out to people that this is rigging the elections? And this has led to a really awful, this has led to the highly partisan atmosphere, because now these safe seats are not accountable to the electorate. No one will knock off these Republican and or Democratic legislators. They can only be knocked off by the base. So the Republican candidates have to fear the right. The Democratic candidates have to fear being attacked from the left. This skews the political process in this impossibly partisan atmosphere. Without accountability, without each district being able to provide accountability to your representative, then in fact the entire process is broken. And I can tell you that the parties have already started coming into my office and demanding the census tract data for 2006 through 2012, and they are going to, again, depending upon your party affiliation, rig the elections in your states, and that to me is anathema.
Now, speaking of which, Ian, your position down there, Supervisor of Elections, is an elected position, correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
But a nonpartisan elected position. Now,
I'd like a recount.
Yeah, I know. Have you? Do you have concerns about exactly that? Do you have concerns about the county turning on you here and removing you from office? How has the support been from the county? And then I want to ask you also about California and a couple of other things.
Well, I think that the citizens in Leon County overwhelmingly support my repeated discussion about the need to have verification and auditing of elections. I'm not an individual, particularly in light of the tests that we conducted. I don't believe in the technology at all. I believe in using the technology and then checking it through an audit procedure. Anywhere in my, from 1 to 5% of all of the machine-readable ballots, whether the race is contested or closed or not, needs to be manually audited and compared to the machines just to confirm that the machines were counting accurate. That should be the standard operation. I'll tell you, that's being done in a minority of jurisdictions in America today. And my peers hate me talking about it because it's more work.
Yeah, don't tell Brad Nelson. He's not going to like that idea. How about, we got a call I want to get to here in a second. We may have to wait till after the break. But very quickly, what about the notion of going all mail-in down there, Ian, since you're having such trouble with Diebold and ESNS, and they appear to be colluding, essentially, to not sell you machinery, either that or ESNS doesn't want to get the same kind of examination that they all should get, but the same kind of examination you gave to the Diebold machines. How about going all mail-in down there? Would you be able to do that? Because my understanding is the Help America Vote Act requires one disabled accessible voting machine in each polling place, but if there is no polling place because it's all mail-in, then you should be fine.
The Help America Vote Act has to run in tandem with the state laws. Interestingly enough, there are no definitions, none. Listen to me again, no definitions in the federal bill. So it's left up to the states to interpret the words of the bill. Florida prohibits mail ballot elections. It's against the law. Our association, even the conservatives in our association, have asked the legislature to revisit this issue to allow people to vote by mail. The state of Florida makes
that
illegal.
What about an absentee ballot?
Well, you can vote by absentee ballot, but the difference between a vote by mail jurisdiction and an absentee voting jurisdiction with no restrictions is under the latter, you still must call in to receive it, where in a mail ballot jurisdiction, every registered voter automatically gets the mail ballot directly mailed to them without the request.
And that is illegal in the state of Florida.
That is illegal under the current laws of the state of
Florida. Unbelievable. We're talking with Ian Sancho, Supervisor of Elections in Leon County. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and take your calls, Steve in Temecula. Hang on there. We are going to be back with the one last segment with Ian Sancho, patriot and hero, if you ask me, right here on The Young Turks.
Tell me what the word is. The word is that you are back to the Young Turks. Michael Schur sitting in for Cenk and Ben and Jill this week. And Brad Friedman from bradblog.com joins me. Ian Sancho is joining us. He is the man who proved that Diebold machines are unverifiable, specifically those machines. The supervisor of elections, the elected supervisor of elections, in Leon County, Florida. We have some callers and then a couple of things we want to get to before we let you go. We're going to go to the calls first. We teased that it would be Steve first. We're going to go to Richard, New Mexico. Steve, hang tight. You're right after that. Line 2, Richard, New Mexico. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Very well,
hey,
thanks.
Richard.
What's on your minds?
Well, I've worked as a computer software configuration control engineer for about 8 years. I'm out on White Sands Missile Range.
Okay.
We're testing big lasers, very expensive. The equipment's expensive.
I have to tell you how cool it is to be speaking into a radio microphone in Los Angeles and know there's a guy in White Sands Missile Range listening
that's
to
right.
us right now. That's
I tell
cool.
you, this Sirius radio has made my day. I was getting pretty tired of the news I was getting over the AM radio.
Well, that's great. Well, you made our day, Richard. Continue. I interrupted you.
Okay. Well, it's very important that we make sure we've got the right software in all our computers before we run one of these tests. And we've got all these programmers that are just dying to get in there and change something, you know, and
right.
make it a little better. So what we do, the day before a test, we do a dry run. This would be like the hack test that they did in Florida. Then we go in and we do what's called a sum check. We count up all the bits. And we actually, it's a little more sophisticated than that. We take each line, a line at a time, maybe double it, multiply it by 3, divide it by 2. Anyway, you end up with a unique number for that software, okay? It's called a sum check.
Right.
So the day of the election, you verify that the sum check is not changed since you did the hack test, okay?
Right, I'm with you.
And there you go. You know you've got the right software in there. And then after the election, you do it again to make sure nothing's changed.
Thanks for that call, Richard. I want to get to some others, and I want to get Ian's thoughts on that. A couple of things come to mind, though, very quickly for me. One is the source code is proprietary, so folks aren't really allowed to look at it. Secondly, the software can check out just fine the day before, but if there's a routine in there, since we're not allowed to see the source code, that says activate this on election day, then there's really, you know, nothing that these a checksum test like that, I think, would do. Ian, any thoughts?
Well, you've got a situation, though, that you've got to do a test within 10 days of any election under Florida law, and there's no test that you're required to do after the election under Florida law. So what the issue to me is, though, what were those ballots or the votes that the voter read? You need to some way verify that those votes are correct. We do not have a simple, transparent way of doing that using the touchscreen technology. And certainly, Florida's laws are probably the worst in the nation, but there's not enough time to do any auditing, so no Florida supervisor does any auditing of any election after the election. And that's an irresponsible position for the public policymakers to place elected officials overseeing the elections. But the legislatures write these laws. In some states, the Secretary of State can issue these rules. But I would urge citizens to keep contacting their public officials, because even here, the new Secretary of State in Florida, Sue Cobb, has felt the pressure from the citizens in the state to put in a paper trail. And she has said she's not opposed to that. Of course, it's a long way between not opposed to implementing it, but we need to have verification. Their trust should not be a part of the equation. Elected officials who are counting votes should be able to prove to everyone, the media, the winners, the losers, that these numbers are accurate. And if they can't do that, that equipment shouldn't be used.
That's the faith-based voting Brakey was talking about in that video. Now, after your test down there, after your hack test, which proved that these D-Bolt machines can be hacked without a trace being left behind, out here in California, when they were looking at recertifying these machines and they saw what you guys did down there, they realized that there's this illegal interpreted code banned by the federal guidelines on this, so they sent it back to the feds to look at. The feds never got back to them, so California went and did its own test based on the work you did down there, and in fact, they confirmed everything that you found, and the report says that these elections can be flipped without a trace left behind. And what our Secretary of State did was said, well, that test means that we will go ahead and certify the machines anyway. Absolutely blows my mind. It happened while we were on the air here last time, Michael, right at the end of the show. Have they done anything like that in Florida, Ion, to sort of confirm what you found and to take action across the state level?
Not at all. We don't even have this kind of voting systems technology assessment advisory board in the state of Florida. We have no independent scientific board to evaluate election issues in the state of Florida. It's all under partisan control. And we made a copy of the Hersey memory card so that the state could study it. I turned that over to the state a while ago. Not a word.
Yeah, it's shocking that everybody's so silent on this. And let's, you know, in our last minute with you, Ion Sancho, tell us what we can do. I know it takes more than a minute, but give us a couple of bullet points about what Americans who care about this can do and what we can do to care about it more.
Speak out. But don't talk in terms of stealing elections, because we don't have data that proves that. People
right.
suspect that. But what we can prove is that we can't verify the elections with this technology. We need to go to an open source code, in my opinion, that is not proprietary, controlled by corporations, but is owned by the United States people. And then I think the country should build its own elections system with verification and auditing capability as the critical element.
And very quickly, right now, is there any reason to be hopeful of this happening?
Well, yes. We had a poll done in Broward County by the Florida Atlantic University. It showed that 70% of the voters in Broward, which is the Fort Lauderdale area, they want it. Our own polls in Leon County, of course, where I've been active, show that number approaching 90%. These individuals, like the individual that's on your tape reacting negatively, they're sensing the heat. People are demanding evidence that their votes are counted. And election officials using this technology cannot provide that proof, because it's not available.
Okay.
Ion Sancho, Supervisor of Elections in Leon County, Florida. Thank you, sir, very much. You're a hero. Appreciate all you do. We're coming back with Lowell